passages in the Scripture and very near and dear to all of our hearts, but I'm going to share some things with you this morning and use the 23rd Psalm as a backdrop or a platform or a launching pad, if you will, to this next series that I'm going to share with you. Now, this series is so important. All of us need to know it. We need to understand it. And you could title this series many different things. Following the Spirit, or how to know and understand the will of God, or how to follow the Shepherd, or how to understand your purpose in life. Whatever you want to tag it, this is something that all of us need to know and all of us need to appreciate. And many times in life, if there's one area where I get questions, more questions than any other area, it's in this area. How can I know the will of God for me? How can I know what I'm supposed to do? How can I know what decision I'm supposed to make? How can I know what to do tomorrow? More importantly, how do I know what I'm supposed to do today? All of these questions have to do with understanding the will of God or follow the Spirit of God. But let me give you a very simple premise that you can build upon, and we'll start with the 23rd Psalm. Notice verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down, in green pastures. Notice this next expression. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Notice this, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, David wrote this psalm based on not only the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but also based on his life experience. And the great thing about David is he was genuine, he was human, he was not perfect, he was just like us. And that's one thing that we have to understand when we read the Scripture, when we read the Bible, we're not reading about some super saints. You know what I mean when I say that? These people did not walk around with halos above their head. They were people just like you, just like me. They faced the same things that we deal with every day. They overcame the same challenges that we're faced with every day. These were people just like you, just like me. But there was something about David. The Bible calls him a man after God's own heart. But he learned some principles that he in turn shared as he wrote the Psalms. And we can learn from them. Now, verse 1, there's something that we need to see. The Lord is my shepherd, the Amplified says, to feed, guide, and shield me, I shall not lack. Now, the word want is a Hebrew word, kosser. And that word literally means I shall not want, I shall not lack, I shall not fail. Now, why could he say that with confidence? Because the Lord was his shepherd. Now, David knew a lot about being a shepherd because that was his occupation before he became king. And as a shepherd, he fiercely defended his father's sheep. You remember the time when Goliath came down into the valley, was challenging the children of Israel, and David heard his words, and something rose up on the inside of him, and he said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And then he asked another question. What's the reward for the guy who kills this jerk? Because David knew right then, Goliath was a dead man. Didn't matter how big he was. David was a man after God's own heart, and he understood faith. What does the guy who kills this jerk get? He said, well, you get to marry the king's daughter. And so they brought him to Saul, and David said, I'll go take this guy out. Saul said, you can't. He's a warrior. He's older than you. He's more experienced. He's bigger than you. Saul didn't say this, but the case was, I'm afraid of him. What are you going to do with him? And David began to testify about how he fiercely defended his father's sheep. He said, I killed a lion and I killed a bear because they came after my father's sheep and I defended them. So David had a unique perspective on the Lord being his shepherd. He knew that God would protect him. That's why he said by the Spirit, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, I shall not lack, I shall not fail. Why? Because he's there to protect me, he's there to defend me. Now, notice he went on to say, for he leads me. Now, I want you to understand this concept. David understood it. The Lord was his shepherd. Jesus, in John chapter 10, identified himself as the good shepherd. Turn with me over to John chapter 10, and let's look at this. John chapter 10, the Gospel of John, last book before the book of Acts. And we're going to spend our time talking about this because you really need to understand this. You need to know this. This is your life. This is your life. Notice John chapter 10. And we'll start with verse 1. Verily, verily, I say to you, he that enters not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he puts forth his own sheep, he goes before them. Notice this expression. If you have a pen or pencil, underline this in your Bibles. The sheep follow him, for they know his voice. The sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Go over to verse 10. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for his sheep. So we know that after redemption, after the cross, Jesus in his exalted position is the great shepherd. Or he called himself here, identified himself as the good shepherd. The writer of Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 and 21 said this, now may the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, and then he identified him like this, that great shepherd of the sheep, make you perfect in every good work. So Jesus is the great shepherd. Peter, writing to the church, called him the chief shepherd. So we know that Jesus is the Lord. He is our shepherd. Now, here's the question that we must answer. If he's the shepherd, and he leads us, and he guides us, and he protects us, then we must understand how to follow him. Notice what he said, Jesus did in John chapter 10. The sheep know my voice. So here's what I'm going to share with you over the next several weeks. Number one, how you can follow the shepherd. That's one way to title it. Number two, how you can know the will of God. Or number three, how you can follow the Spirit. All of those things are essentially saying the same thing. If Jesus is the chief shepherd, the great shepherd, the good shepherd, how does he lead his sheep today? And so I'm going to share with you over the next several weeks how to be led by the Lord, how to be led by the Holy Spirit, how to follow the shepherd, whatever you want to call it, how you can know the will of God. Have you ever been in a situation where you weren't sure what to do, and the one thing you wanted more than anything else is wanted to know, God, what's your will? What do you want me to do? What decision do you want me to make? And that's a decision that we have to make every day. Amen? We're faced with situations and challenges, obstacles. Every day we make a series of decisions. And those decisions will begin to determine our outcome in life. You can make a series of wrong decisions and it'll get you in trouble, my friend. Are you with me? And many times we make decisions that are outside the will of God. And did you know that God will not swoop down from heaven like Superman, jump in front of you, and say, "Now, Margie, don't you do that." Now, He will say, "Margie, don't you do that." But He's not going to swoop out of heaven like Superman. How does He do it? I'm going to teach you that. Are you with me? If there's anything a Christian needs to know and needs to pursue and needs to do, it's the will of God. If there's anyone we need to follow in life, it is the great shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, how does He lead? He is still the good shepherd. He's still the great shepherd. How does He lead His sheep? Now, that's what I'm going to teach you. But notice Psalm 23. Remember that first verse? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not lack. I shall not fail. Here's something you need to remember. Great provision awaits those who follow the shepherd. Great provision awaits those who follow the shepherd. If you learn to follow Him, there's nothing but blessing and grace in store for your life. Notice I didn't say you'd never have a problem. Notice I did not say you'd never be challenged. Notice I did not say there are times when you may not understand what's going on. But if you learn to follow the shepherd, great provision awaits you. And David understood this. If He's my shepherd, He's going to take care of me. He's going to defend me. He's going to fight for me. You with me? But I have to learn how to follow Him. So how does He do it? How does the Lord lead us today? Well, turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 119, the 119th Psalm. And this is just an introduction today, but this is good stuff. And I think you'll take away some things from these lessons that you can use every day. How does the Lord lead us? How does He guide us? How does He give us direction? Does He swoop from heaven like Superman, wearing a red cape, and just jump in the middle of our stuff? No, He doesn't do it quite like that. He does care about your stuff. He does care about the things that you deal with. But He does lead us in a general way, and then He leads us specifically as individuals. Notice Psalm 119, and it's a long psalm, but if you notice, this psalm talks a lot about the Word of God. Verse 1, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with their whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. You've commanded us to keep Your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Your statutes. Then I shall not be ashamed when I have respect unto all Your commandments. I will praise You with uprightness of heart. Then I shall have learned Thy righteous judgments. I will keep Your statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly." Then he goes on and on and on and talks about God's judgments, God's laws, God's precepts. Well, let's simplify it. What does all that stuff mean? Notice Psalm 105, Psalm 119, 105. He said this, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word, O Lord, is a lamp and a light. Now, what is he saying? Your word gives me illumination so that I know where to walk and how to walk. Your word gives me illumination so I know where to step. Have you ever done what I think all of us have done at one point or another? Get up in the middle of the night and you're at home. You know your house, right? And you get up and you head to another room, probably the bathroom. And it's 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. And you just want to get there quick. And you don't turn on the light. And what do? Thump. Thump your toe. Stub your toe. Hurts like crazy. You know, and if you're like me, you grab it and you say, in Jesus' name, be healed. That's what I always do. Some of y'all may say something else, but hey, you'll get there. You'll get there. You know, bang your toe, dag nabbit. No. That's what I always do, because that's what I put in my heart for years and years and years and years. In Jesus' name, I'm healed. You know, nobody likes stubbing your toe. But guess what? If you had to turn a light on and watch where you were going, you wouldn't have done it. Well, I've stubbed my toe in life. Have you? Well, that happens when we're not walking in the light of God's Word. So, the psalmist understood this and said, Your Word, O Lord, is a light unto my path and a lamp for my feet. In other words, it illuminates my path. It gives me direction and guides me. So, here's principle number one. How can we know the will of God? How can we follow Jesus? How can we follow the shepherd? How can we follow the Spirit? Number one, by obeying the Word. The written Word of God is our guide for life. Now, you know, we live in a culture where, you know, many things have become relative and people have discounted some things just because they're not current and fresh. I tell you, things of the Spirit never get old. And it's as fresh as today's news. But there have been people, even Christian people, who have thought there's something better than what God's Word has to say. I remember many years ago, I had a man come to me. He wanted counsel, and I said, sure, I'll endeavor to help you. And he came to me and shared his problem and said, well, Pastor Young, what should I do? And I said, well, the Bible says ABC. And as I'm sharing what the Scripture says, this guy, all of a sudden, disconnected from me quickly. And he said, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that. Now, I'm kind of taken aback. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. Mr. Christian brother, ABCD, you don't want to hear what God's Word has to say? No, I don't want to hear that. I said, excuse me? He said, you're telling me just what the other pastor told me. I said, you know, he thought I'd be upset. I'm like, yes, at least I'm on the same page as another man of God. You know? I said, well, what were you expecting from me? That is what God's Word says about your situation. Well, I wanted you to prophesy to me and tell me something else. I said, I'm sorry, you come to the wrong guy. Okay? God's Word is our rule for faith and practice. Now, let me show you how important the Word is. All right? You willing to take this journey with me today? Turn to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Let me show you something. Luke chapter 10. Jesus was confronted with the same situation on many, many occasions. People wanted direction from him. They made inquiries about him. And he would always do the same thing. Notice Luke chapter 10. Go to verse 25. Luke 10, 25. It says, And behold, a certain lawyer stood up. Now, you know you're in trouble when a lawyer starts asking questions. But I got news for you. All lawyers aren't smart. Some lawyers are just plain stupid. Now, if you're a lawyer listening to this, please don't take offense. There are a lot of good lawyers, godly lawyers. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I have friends that are lawyers. They're great people. But just because you're a lawyer doesn't mean you know what you're talking about. Just because you're a doctor doesn't mean you know what you're doing. just because you're an elder doesn't mean that you know and teach the truth. See, the title means nothing. It's the content. What's in the can? You with me? Man, you'd have been proud of me. Valerie, you'd have been proud of me. I cooked dinner yesterday. And this has nothing to do with my message, but I got to tell it anyway. It was an achievement for me, okay? Yesterday, I went grocery shopping and I bought some lean ground beef, because if there's one dish that I love, it's beef and beans, you know? And so I got some Bush's baked beans and I got this ground beef and I put it in the frying pan. I cooked it up real good, seasoned it, you know, chili pepper and salt and all the other stuff. And then I put the beans in there. And then I mixed it up and I put some ketchup in there. I put some barbecue sauce and I'm tasting it. Put a little sugar in there. Oh, it came out. Man, it came out good. I'm telling you, it came out good. See, I'm making some of y'all hungry. Anyway, came out great. And so I had my meal. And a funny thing happened yesterday while I'm cooking this food and I'd eaten my meal. My daughter went to Pittsburgh with her cousin, meet her cousin down there and stay with my son. She was supposed to stay over until today. Well, she decided to come back yesterday. She came in the house. I had no idea she was at home. I'm in the kitchen with my dog. And so I'm standing there at the sink and I hear the refrigerator open. And I see the door open. I said, now, wait a minute. My dog can't open the fridge. And I turn around and it's my daughter. I'm like, whoa, girl, what are you doing? She said, hi, Dad. I said, I thought you were coming back tomorrow. I decided to come back early. I said, give me a hug, girl. Startled me. But, I don't know why I told you that story. I made some of the best beef and beans. I'm telling you, it was great. It was great. But, you know, and I was so proud, you know, and then my leftovers I put in a Tupperware. It's waiting for me. That'll be lunch tomorrow. But anyway, it's what's in the can that counts. That's what got me off into this. Those Bush's baked beans are so good if you cook them right. But notice this certain lawyer stood up and tempted Jesus. And notice verse 25, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said to him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? In other words, what does the word say? How do you read it? And he answering said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said, you're right, do it. That was it. You are correct. Do it. Many times people came to Jesus, Jesus, what about this? What about that? And he would point them right back to the word. What does the word say? Well, the word says thus and so. Great, do it. God leads us by His Word. That's why it is so important that, number one, we teach God's Word. I tell you, God's Word has power. It has power to deliver. It has power to save. It has power to heal. It is the authority of God's Word that brings clarity in life and power. There's power. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power that God uses for deliverance. Amen. Instead of espousing man's theories and, well, we think this, I don't care what you think. You know? Many times I've encountered people in life who just had all kind of grand thoughts and great ideas. They weren't grounded in the Word. They're meaningless. It's just a nice theory. Just a nice concept. Nice thought. And you know what I always think? Nice try. But it's not going to work. It never does. So Jesus always pointed people to the Word. What does God's Word say? And they'd say, well, it says this, that, and the other. Fine, do it. So God leads us in a general sense by His Word. So how can you know the will of God? How can you follow the shepherd? How can you follow the Spirit in your life in a general sense? What does God's Word say? So number one, it's important that we teach God's Word. Number two, it's important that you, everybody say me, study God's Word. See, I can teach it. It's up to you what you do with it. And I have news for you. Once a week on Sunday morning, as good as it is not enough. Are you with me? It's not enough. I talked about my beans and beef yesterday that I made. That's great. It was a great meal. But you know what? It was good yesterday, but I'm going to eat again today because my body needs it. I don't eat once a week. If I did, I would be weak. And that's the problem with some Christians. The reason they are weak, W-E-A-K, is because they only feed once a week, W-E-E-K. And then we got some of y'all like to feed once a month. And you wonder why your faith's not strong. You wonder why the devil's slapping the mess out of you and winning. Well, you need to feed your spirit on God's Word. And I can take you to the trough, but I can't make you drink. Are you with me? You can get some good food here. You know, I will tell you this. There's those some sitting in here, and there are other people who I meet often. You know, Margie talked about our website, and every day I can go online and see how many times people have listened to the Word. And it's getting to be a big volume now, which is great. You know, I can go on any given day, and there are at least 15, 16, 17 messages that people have listened to or downloaded. I mean, it's just, we put the praise and worship on there and it shot up. You know, it's like 100 downloads in 2 days. It was just, nothing I taught had done that, but anyway, it's good stuff. Of course, I promoted it, said, hey, you got to hear this, and they did. But there are people who listen to the Word consistently. And in our culture, in our digital media, you have no excuse. You with me? Now, if you lived in the bush in Liberia with no electricity and no Bible, I might understand it. But if you live in Erie, Pennsylvania in 2013 and you got your Kindle and you got your... You can read the Bible on your smartphone. It's just what's important to you. Yeah, it will talk back to you. You know? You can read it on your smartphone. You know, there's one thing. There's a character in the Old Testament that I studied a great deal, and that is Job. And there's one little tidbit that the Bible says about Job that most people just read right over. But it says about Job that he desired God's word more than his necessary food. So he would rather spend time in God's word than eat. And he still didn't understand some things. But thank God, God turned his captivity and he was blessed on the latter end. So how does God lead us? How can we know the ways of the Spirit? How can we know the will of God? Number one, it's revealed in His Word. And when I say in His Word, particularly for you, being a believer, post-crucifixion and resurrection, God's Word for you is the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the letters written to born-again believers, Acts through Revelation. That's God's Word to you. You need to know the books previous to that, the Old Covenant books, because they lay out the pattern for the Christian life. But everything in the Old Covenant books does not apply to you positionally or practically because you're not a Jew under the law of Moses. See, under the law of Moses, you could be stoned for wearing two different kinds of fabric. Don't put nothing. Of course, there was no polyester. You with me? But cotton and polyester? Mm-mm. You headed for the backside of the dung heap and they're going to stone you to death. You know, there are a lot of things in the Old Covenant. You know, if a child rebels against their parents, take them out and stone them. But we don't do that. Sometimes you wish you could, but you don't do that. Are you with me? Grace brings change. God was dealing with them where they were, through the flesh. But we have been circumcised in the heart. He deals with us from the inside out. Amen? So how does He lead us? How does He guide us? How do we follow the shepherd? How do we know the will of God? Number one, through His Word. His Word is our rule and guide for faith and practice. Notice James. Go to the right in your Bible. James chapter 1. James was the half-brother of Jesus. Mary was his mother as well. And he wrote his epistle, letter, to the churches. James is just before Peter. right after Hebrews. James said something that we need to pay attention to. James chapter 1. And he said this in verse 21. Notice what he said. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Now, I know for many, many years I discussed with ministers about the new birth, the rebirth of the human spirit, the renewing of the mind. And there are many people, because of a lack of proper teaching, think that there are two parts to our human nature, body and soul. Well, that's not correct. The Bible tells us there are three parts to our nature, spirit, soul, and body. And they are all clearly identified in the Scripture. Well, we all know what the body is because that's what we live in. But what about the spirit and the soul? The Bible does make a distinction between the two. When Nicodemus came to Jesus, Jesus told him, "You must be born again." And he said, "How can I be born again when I'm old? Can I enter the second time into my mother's womb?" He's thinking about the body. And Jesus said, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Don't marvel that I tell you, you must be born again." He wasn't talking about his body, he's talking about his spirit. Then we have to deal with the soul. What is the soul? Well, Pastor Bill, I thought that was the spirit. No, it's not. Soul, the Greek word psuche, the root word from which we get psychology, psychosis, psychoanalyst, refers to the part of you that has to do with your reasoning, your mind, your will, your intellect, your emotions. Do you know that those are eternal parts of your makeup? In other words, long after you leave this body, your mind and your will and your intellect will still be intact. You'll still recognize people. You'll still be able to think. Are you with me? So the soul, the mind, the will, the intellect, the emotions. What James is saying to born-again, spirit-filled people is they need to receive the Word of God, which will save or deliver their souls, their mind, their will, their intellect, their emotions. Well, they're Christians. I thought their souls were saved. James didn't think so. I said, James didn't think so. Were they born again? Yes, their spirits were reborn. But they'd never done anything with this. And here's the great quandary. As a believer, when you receive Jesus in your heart as your Lord and Savior, your spirit is reborn. Now you begin the journey. You've got to renew your mind. How do you do that? By His Word. Paul wrote to the church at Rome and said, "I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." And then he said this, "And be not conformed to this world." What does it mean to be conformed? To be fashioned alike. That means you're just like the world. Just like the world. I was driving by a guy the other day and he had his britches hanging down. And I'm in the car. I'm like, "Pull your pants up. Come on, pull them up, pull them up, pull them up." He didn't. Well, why would you do that? Walk around with your butt hanging out? Because you want to look just like somebody else. You with me? So you know what I think in my mind automatically? I hope everybody has their britches up this morning. Everybody got their britches up? There goes another slave. That's what I think. In bondage, trying to look like something. They don't even understand it. Don't even know where it came from. You know where that started? That started in prison. And you don't want to know who started it and why. If you did, you'd pull them britches up. You with me? You'd pull them britches up if you understood why. But it's fashion. Well, that's the style. That's what everybody's doing. Okay, so you want to look just like them. Slave. I'm not going to let anything make me a slave. Are you with me? But how do you get out of that stuff? Renew your mind. Renew your mind. Now, the psalmist said in Psalm 23, He restoreth my soul. He restores my soul. He doesn't throw my soul out and give me a new one. No, He takes the old stuff off and puts new stuff on. The renewing of the mind. How are you transformed in your life? By renewing your mind. You can be born again, love Jesus with all your heart, and live like you've never been saved if you don't renew your mind. Well, I go to church every Sunday. Mm-hmm. I mean, I shout. Mm-hmm. Have you learned anything? Well, no, but the preacher preaches good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it hadn't had an impact on the way you live. And what happens is people get frustrated. They realize that I'm not living the way I should. Maybe I didn't get it. No, you got it. But you got some work to do. You got to change the way you think. If you don't change the way you think, you're going to act just like you did before you got saved. If you don't change the way you think, you're going to act just like you used to act before you met Jesus. So how do we follow the shepherd? How do we understand the will of God? How does the Lord lead us? Number one, by His Word. What does the Word say? Well, you can't quote or do what the Word says if you don't know what the Word says. And so we need to spend time meditating in God's Word consistently, daily. Are you with me? Listen, He will speak to you through the Scripture. He will. He will speak to you through His Word. See, now, somebody said something to me the other day. And I don't, I can talk about me. If I get up here and talk about you, you might get offended, so I'll talk about me. But somebody said something the other day about the way I live my life. All right? Well, why do I live my life the way I live it? Because I began to renew my mind 30-some years ago. Because I struggled with the same passions and things that everybody else has to deal with. But I knew God's Word had the answer. And so I would study God's Word, I would quote God's Word concerning those situations, and it began to change the way I think. And so now, 35 years later, those things that hang some people up don't bother me. They don't bother me. Why? I conquered that 30-some years ago. And I sure ain't going back to that mess. You with me? There is nothing there that I want. Are you with me? And so I learned to apply the Word in those areas years ago. Listen to me. The longer you do it, the easier it gets. The longer you do it, the easier it gets. I've had people say to me, Bill Young, how you doing? I'm doing great. You staying out of trouble? I said, yeah, that's easy. It is. It's easy to stay out of trouble. Because I learned how to stay out of trouble 35 years ago. The renewing of the mind is something that every Christian must do if you're going to follow the shepherd and you're going to walk in that I shall not want, lack, or fail. Now turn with me to Proverbs chapter 20. We'll close with this. Remember where we began, Psalm 119. 105, Thy word, O Lord, is a light unto my path and a lamp under my feet. So He leads us and guides us by His Word. His Word is our rule for our faith and for what we practice. And it's a very practical thing. You know, the Bible says some things about most of the issues that we face every day. You know? There have been times I've wanted to hit people. You know, they do something or say something to me, offend me, or say something stupid to me, and I wanted to knock them out. But the Bible says that love takes no account of a suffered wrong. Okay, so I can't keep score. You know, Jesus said, pray for them that despitefully use you. Yeah. Well, I have a choice to make. Am I going to pray for them or am I going to hit them? Well, the Bible said, pray for him. Well, I can't hit him then. Amen. I had a fellow one time told me he was going to rob me. It was about 3:30 in the morning in Tulsa, Oklahoma on the north side. And he says, I'm going to come in there and get your cigar box. You mean I'm going to come in there and get your money? I said, no, you ain't. He said, yeah, I am too. I said, no, you ain't. You know. See, and just then your heart starts beating a little faster. The adrenaline starts pumping. See, and then he starts looking at me, seeing if I'm carrying a gun. Okay. And so I positioned myself so he couldn't see what was under my jacket. He said, oh, I'm coming in there. I'm going to get your stuff. I said, that's what you think. You're going to get hurt. And then he looked at me again. And I'm like, shepherd, you better come through. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. See, but I learned a long time before that I've been delivered from the kingdom of darkness. God's word taught me that. And translated into the kingdom of his dear son. And so I'm no longer under the jurisdiction of the kingdom of darkness. They got no claims on me. The devil has nothing on me. I don't belong to him anymore. And so, the Bible taught me this. I can take my words and say some things, and the Bible says I can have what I say. The Bible taught me that, God's word. And so I would say every night, devil, you won't rob me, you won't steal from me, and you sure can't kill me. Now I got a guy in my face telling me he's going to take my cigar box. I said, no, you ain't. Now, listen to me. If you happen to work in a convenience store or work retail, and some guy walks in there, puts a pistol in your face, give him the money. Amen. You're the most important person in the building. Okay? Give him the money. Don't do what Bill Young is doing. Just give him the money. All right? But this is what I did. I said, you want to rob me, steal from me, or kill me? You can't. I don't belong to you anymore. This guy said he wants my cigar box. He coming for it. I said, no, you ain't. He said, why? You got something? I said, you going to get hurt. And he looked at me for that third time and decided, I'm not going to challenge this, brother. And he turned around, walked off, got in his car, and drove away. I said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I learned from God's word how to respond in certain situations. All right? Now, don't do it just because I did it. Let God's word renew your mind. But notice Proverbs chapter 20. I want to finish with this. Notice the primary way that he leads us is through his word. So the shepherd guides us, leads us daily through his word. Thy word, O Lord, is a light and a lamp. The Hebrew word near, N-E-E-R. Notice Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, or the light of the Lord. Interesting, it's the same Hebrew word, near. So the primary way that the shepherd leads us is through the written word. The next way that he leads us is in our spirit. The spirit of man is the near, the lamp, the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. So he leads us by his word, number one. Number two, he leads us in our spirit, number two. How can I know the will of God? There are times the word of God does not address a particular situation. He'll lead you in your spirit. This is something you need to know. And so next week we'll get into some detail about how he leads us in our spirit. Amen? I don't know about you, but I want to follow the shepherd. Do you? I want to walk in the will of God. Don't you? Hallelujah. Great provision awaits those who follow the shepherd. Would you stand with me, please?